on what God has got for us. And you know, I know when Micah talked this morning, he's been a little bit frustrated with his car bringing it in and out, and you know, sometimes if that was my car, I'd want to take a sledgehammer to it and beat it a few times and then send it off to the auto shop. But you know, God in His grace, and I liked what he said, that God's grace teaches us. It does teach us, and it teaches us how to go beyond those things and beyond those distractions so we can do what God really wants us to do. Amen? So, with great pleasure this morning, Josh, my nephew, is going to come and give the message this morning.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, let's use this.
I get the big one.
Okay. Okay, I would just like to add to last week's message. Actually, I thought that was very good, delivered by Pastor Skinner. I was actually standing there in praise and worship, thinking to myself, you know, I've kind of veered away from my personal time with the Lord. I think it's time I got back on track. And lo and behold, Pastor Skinner's message was very relevant. The thing left ringing in my ears was spending the time. You must spend the time. So that was the take-home message there. It was very powerfully spoken to me. You know, I know a lot of times before Christmas, we usually have, you know, Christmas-type themed message and everything. But, you know, I firmly believe that as long as your message was about victory in Christ, that's about as Christmassy as it's going to get. Because that's why Jesus came, amen? Yeah. And let me tell you this, you know, I know I say this a lot, but it was a huge step for me as someone about 10 years old who could barely give a written book report to their parents. Now, let me make a distinction here. There's a huge difference between a written and an oral book report. A written book report, amen, Caleb? A written book report is where you write it out and you read it. An oral book report is when it's just off note cards. I could barely give a written book report in front of my parents at 10 years old without crying. And today I can boldly say, according to Micah chapter 3, that I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So today what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about overcoming negative emotions. Okay? Now, very briefly, I would like to say that the trials of my life have kind of led me to this point. I'm talking about this. So what I'm sharing with you today directly applies to me. And anything I say today, I believe I have been through to a certain degree at some point in my life. Now, how many of you would say at some point or another, raise your hand, that you have dealt with a certain negative emotion? Think of a certain circumstance. We have a lot of people here. Okay. Mr. Joel, what would be one of those negative emotions you've experienced specifically that applies to you? What would be one? Just one. Suicidal ideas. Okay. Anybody else? Miss Cassie, you raise your hand. Depression. Okay. You. Anger. Ooh. Okay. Anybody in the back, raise their hand that has one they want to share. Anxiety. Okay. We have anxiety in the back. Micah, how about you? Any... Frustration. Okay, so we have some people here who have actually dealt with some serious issues. Obviously, if you're thinking about killing yourself, that's a serious issue, right? Frustration is a serious issue. Why? Because it can steal your joy. Okay, so we have these things in our life that you know, affect us a certain way, and they take away from what God's given us. So it's very important we deal with them, okay? It's very important that we deal with them. Okay. Now, some of the ones that, as I was thinking about this, a lot of times when you have a negative emotion, a lot of times it correlates between maybe a relationship you have with someone. It could be a circumstance, like, for example, Micah's car. But a lot of times it correlates with a particular relationship you have with someone. And that someone could even be yourself. Okay. So here are some examples. It could be emotions of rejection from when you were growing up. Fear of what might happen in the future. It could be anxiety causing you to look at your current circumstance, regret of the things you've done in the past, which may be 5 seconds ago or 40 years ago. Okay? It could be worry, anger at someone, possibly yourself, hatred against someone because of something they did or didn't do, and dread of visiting relatives over the holidays. conviction falls from the ceiling. Okay, so those are just some things, and I want you to mentally keep in your head some of the things I just mentioned, if they apply to you or yours, that you were thinking when you raised your hand, a negative emotion that specifically applies to you in your life, okay? And today we're going to learn about how to deal with that. Amen? Okay. Now, what's interesting about these negative emotions, at least the ones I've experienced, no matter how much you try to ignore them, they don't go away. Actually, sometimes it gets to the point where these negative emotions will nag you, okay? They're just on your tail. You can't seem to shake them. And you may even quote scripture verses at them, but you cannot seem to shake this, okay? I've been there before, okay? Or it may be, in a particular instance, that when such-so thing happens, I always feel such-so way. When I ever see such-so person, I feel such-so way. That may be that anxiety, that may be that anger, okay? And it's just like, I cannot seem to shake this. I can't seem to deal with this problem, okay? So what I want to talk about is how to overcome, okay? So we're going to go through this, and I went through this with myself last night, kind of gave the message to myself and kind of, you know, ironed out the wrinkles, hopefully, but it's still a little bit raw. So if we make a mistake here, we're just going to keep going, pretend like it never happened, all right? So, all right, the first step to overcoming, okay, and this is the first step to overcoming, is realizing Jesus said that he was touched with the feeling of your infirmities, okay? So that's understanding, no matter what you feel, Jesus has been touched by it, okay? There was one lady I tried to minister to in Metro Harvest when I attended World Harvest Bible College for a year, and she had definitely some problems. Why? Because I saw her sitting on the sidewalk sulking. So I thought, she has problems, I'm going to go minister to her, okay? So I sit down next to her, and I begin to talk with her, and I thought, I'm going to relate to this person through my personal past experiences. So I thought, we're going to pull out the laundry list of things that I've been through, and we're going to relate to her through this. Just so happened to be, after talking with her for about 5 seconds, her laundry list was a lot longer than mine. So I had a lot of difficulty relating to this person. She's been through way more than I have. But knowing this, that Jesus was touched with the feeling of your infirmities, so just because I or anybody else here may not have been specifically through the situation or is experiencing the feeling you've experienced does not mean that you can't have victory. Jesus has been touched with the feeling of your infirmities, okay? And the first step to overcome is distinguishing feeling between the reality of the situation you're going through. And let me explain. Matthew 6:10, Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Okay? What do you think that means? Let's think about this again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So he's obviously saying his will is done in heaven, right? And he desires that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So if you want to know what God's will looks like, take a visit to heaven. Now, if we took this trip to heaven and we cracked open that pearly gate, do we think there would be people in there having emotional breakdowns? Do you think there would be sorrow, sadness, the pains of anxiety dragging the angels down? I don't think so. If you think so, then check with Pastor Mitch, because that's another issue we're not going to deal with today. Okay? So, it's very important you understand that his will for you on earth is the same as it is in heaven, and that being, he desires for you to be happy. Amen? Amen? As simple as it is, he desires for you to be happy and overcoming these negative emotions. And when I say overcoming negative emotions, I don't mean that he desires for you not to feel them. Okay? Jesus said, "I came to this world not so that I would take them out of the world, but so that they could have victory in the world." Okay? So you may feel things just because you're in the world. Okay? But just because you feel those things doesn't mean it's his will for you to stay in those things, right? So you may feel the pains of anxiety coming on. You may feel the pains of depression and despair entering your life. But just because you feel that, you must understand that it doesn't mean you are like that. Okay? The Bible is full of what you are as a Christian. Okay? And just because you feel a certain way does not mean you immediately identify yourself with that feeling. Because a lot of times when you run into at least a non-believer, they'll go, I feel depressed, and therefore they exude the signs of depression. Okay? They have a sad look on their face, you know, maybe suicidal, because they have accepted that feeling that they have because they don't know any better. Right? They don't know any better. But Jesus said, I came in John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them, praying for you, out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The evil is the negative emotions that are trying to drag you down. So know that just because you feel negative emotions does not mean that you have to be drawn under with negative emotions. Amen? Yes. Amen. Okay. Moving on from that, we are going to enter into our second step to overcome, which is seeking God. Okay? Know this, that you have been remade under the blood of Jesus Christ if you're born again. Okay? Those negative emotions are not something that even belong to you. Okay? So second step, seeking God, is found in Matthew 6:33. Okay? Now some of you may say, yes, Josh, I know that as a believer, God says, I'm not depressed, I have victory, but I just can't seem to escape those feelings that always drag me down. Trust me, I've been there. Okay? I know that I'm not supposed to be feeling this way, but I just can't help it. I just feel this way. Have any of you ever said that to yourself before? You know, I know this isn't quite right here spiritually, but I just can't seem to shake it. Okay? So everybody go to Matthew 6:33 if you haven't already. Okay? This particular scripture has really become one of my best friends as of late. Is everybody there? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You might say, no, that's a good scripture. What's that have to do with overcoming negative emotions? Well, let me tell you, it has everything to do with overcoming negative emotions. Okay? And it's, in fact, the very core of our discussion here. Okay? When I was dealing with negative emotions in a particular area, the Lord said, well, you need to seek me first. And I didn't quite understand why. We're going to talk about that. Okay? Now, we're going to come to that point in a minute, but let's actually reread Matthew 6:33, and this time, let's kind of put it into context here by starting in verse 25, okay? So go to verse 25, it's just a few verses up, okay? And it says, therefore, we're going to read from here to the end of the chapter, which is about a segment of about 9 verses here, okay? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I'm going to drill you guys after we get through this passage, so pay attention. I want you to see something here, okay? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Luke just comes to mind for some reason right now when I say that. I don't know, because Luke, we always give Luke grief for being the shortest of me, Ben, Nick, and Micah. So Luke comes to mind right now. Okay, anyway, why take ye thought for raiment? That's not what I wanted you to see. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For the heaven your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay. Now, you have read the text yourself. What is the very first thing you see there? Anybody want to take a jab at this? The very first thing you see in the scripture verse. Do I have a bold soul out there who will take a jab at the first thing they see?
He's got to take care of the birds. He's
going to
take care of us.
Okay. Anybody else? Mom? Okay. Miss Dorothy? Focus on yourself. Focus on God. Okay. Okay. Well, in my mind, the very first thing I see as I was praying about this is I see in the sequence of verse 25 through 34, the first thing I see is verse 25. And I see the first part of verse 25, okay? That's kind of not probably what some of you are expecting me to say. Well, I see the first verse, but I do, okay? And let's take that, for example. That comes first, so there must be a reason for that. Okay, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Okay? Now let's just think about that part for a minute. Take no thought for your life. And stop. Okay? Just think about that for a second while I find my place. Okay? I believe that Jesus is doing more in this passage here than addressing, you know, the disciples worrying about what they were going to eat or worrying about what they were going to wear. What is Jesus addressing when he says, take no thought for your life? He is addressing lack in general. Okay? He is addressing lack in general. Actually, not to demean the significance of the following verses, but if we condense Matthew 6 from the first part of 25 all the way to verse 33, it would say this: "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Okay, so if you just take all that out, we take that very first verse: take no thought for your life, but seek ye first. That's the key phrase we're dealing with here, okay? This simply means, as Miss Dorothy said, you are not to think about you, okay? Negative emotions are often triggered in our life by a perception of lack. That's very important here because we have to understand where these negative emotions are coming from, okay? You could also say that a perception of lack is the root cause of negative emotions. When you have anxiety, for example, there's a certain perception of lack that you have, that things may not work out, okay? When you're angry at someone, let's say a child is angry at their parents because they go, my parents were never there for me, they don't care about me, the perception of lack is there, okay? There's still a certain perception of lack. It doesn't matter what the negative emotion is, there's a perception of lack, okay? You see something missing, therefore it causes an emotional reaction, okay? And that's kind of the course of things there, okay? Let's see. When you're depressed, you feel that you'll never make it out of this mess. The perception that the lack of victory is present, okay? You don't see the victory. There's a lack there. The negative emotion is present. So it's actually the root cause of negative emotions is the perception of lack, okay? And I keep saying that because it's very important to understand that, okay? Does everyone get that? Speak now. Okay. All right, we know that Jesus is addressing not just negative emotions of worry, but he's addressing the perception of lack, i.e. negative emotions in Matthew 6. Okay, if you believe that, now you must ask yourself, if you feel lack in any area of your life, are you missing joy? Are you without peace? Do you worry? If you're answering yes, you must seek the kingdom of God first. There is no ulterior remedy, and there is no way around it. The kingdom of God established in your life is the only solution to your problem, okay? That's very important. The only solution to your problem is the kingdom of God itself established in your life. Because he said to overcome, we have to do what? We have to seek him first, seek the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us, okay? You might say, how, why does seeking God first help me overcome negative emotions? Because when God told me, Josh, you're dealing with problems in your life, you have issues. And I was like, I know. He's like, you need to seek me first. And I said, why? Well, let's take you through that here in a second, okay? I always, when I got to this part, I always like to stop and ask why. You know, just because the pastor gets up here and preaches something, I always like to understand it for myself. Okay, I think that creates a more powerful revelation. So just because, even though I know it's true, pastor says, Josh, you're healed in Jesus' name, I like to understand why I'm healed, okay? And I think that's very important because you kind of have to discover the Bible. It's good to come to church, but you have to spend the time to discover the Bible for yourself and understand the why behind what God does in order to hear from God, okay? So that way you can distinguish when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, is this coming from God or not as you're maturing your walk with the Lord, okay? So that was just a little bonus. Now let's move on to Psalm 27, okay? Psalm 27, let's go there. Okay, I pulled this one, Now, granted, it's a lot older than I am, but I kind of pulled this one out of Josh's treasure trove of fantastic scriptures. Okay? I know it's in the Bible. It doesn't technically, you know, it's not my idea, but still, it was in Josh's treasure trove, and I thought, this one will work really good right here, okay? So let's roll over to Psalm 27. Okay? Psalm 27. Okay? And what we'll do is we will start in verse 1. We'll start at the beginning, okay? Why don't you tell me what the first thing is you see here? Okay? Verse 1, 27, verse 1. Okay, and it says, is everybody there? Say amen. All right. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Sounds kind of like a zombie invasion, but I don't think it is. Okay? Actually, that really sounds really stressful to me, okay? Even when my enemies came to eat up my flesh. Man, you thought you were under stress in your workplace. I didn't know about no cannibals up in there that were trying to eat you, okay? You've got problems. The psalmist has major problems, okay? So let's do a real reality check here, okay? He's dealing with something a little bit bigger than you are. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Stop. Stop. Don't read the rest, okay? Stop right there. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. What is he saying there? Can anybody tell me what he's saying? Though I have all these problems, just like we created a list at the beginning of service with all of the negative emotions we deal with, he obviously has a list, okay? And it's people trying to eat him, people encamping against him. He has a list, okay? Though I have this problem, I shall not fear. What's he saying? Miss Dorothy. Right. What he's saying is that just because I have such and so circumstance, I am not under the power of negative emotions. Okay? I have a circumstance in my way here. Here it is. It's a big test at school. Okay? It's people trying to eat me. I'm sorry. I can't get past that. I do not fall under the power of negative emotions. Okay, let's read the second part there. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. So apparently he's got something in behind him that is, you know, causing him to be strong, regardless of the circumstances. He's confident in something. What is he confident in him? Drop down to Josh's treasure trove, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hallelujah. Okay, so apparently he's confident in one thing. Okay, it's not his shotgun. It's not his heavy-duty built house or cave or whatever he had back then. It is one thing that he's desired of the Lord. What did he desire? He desired a personal relationship with God. He desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. He's covered. Why? He's seeking God first. He's desired one thing. Okay? So let's kind of, you know, think about this here. He's not coming under the power of negative emotions. Why? Because he's confident. Why? Because he's been seeking God first. Okay? If seeking God first will give him that much confidence, by golly, I think he'll do the same for you. Okay? So think about that for a minute. Let's drop down to verse 8. Okay? Now, he's kind of having this conversation with the Lord. Okay? And we have the privilege of looking into what him and the Lord were saying to each other. Okay? When I have trouble hearing from the Lord, amen, you can always fall back on the Bible. Okay, when you're developing your spirit, okay, you can always fall back on the Bible. And here he's having a conversation with the Lord. Let's actually start in verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. This is the psalmist speaking. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Okay, he's in trouble. I need help. Answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face. The Lord obviously said that to the psalmist. Seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Okay, that's the important part there. Okay, he is able to overcome negative emotions because he's seeking God first. Okay, so we know that it works really well because Jesus told us to do it. We have past history in the Old Testament. Seeking God first overcomes and negates the power of negative emotions. Okay, we know it works really well. But again, we haven't gotten to quite yet the why. Why does it work so well? Why does seeking God first overcome negative emotions? Is everyone following me? Yes? Okay. Okay. Well, it actually works for a couple different reasons. Okay. Two, I believe, reasons mainly why seeking God first helps overcome negative emotions. Okay. First of all, seeking God, somebody said this, I forget who, when we were talking there, raising hands and things. Seeking God first takes your focus off of you and your problems and instead puts it on the bigger picture. A lot of times when you're wallowing in that negative emotion, you're not seeking God or necessarily feel God is leading you, because obviously he is not leading you into the negative emotion. Okay, your focus is not on God, is what I'm saying. Your focus is on you, and it's on your problem, it's on your situation, it's on the other person you've got issues with, right? It's not on God. So it rearranges your focus. Okay, if you flip back to Matthew 6, part of that passage we read there, Jesus asked the question, is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Why is Jesus asking that? He is questioning your focus. He's going, isn't life more than these things? Where is your focus? Okay. If you focus on who God wants you to be, that is, having a personal relationship with him. If you focus on what God wants you to do, whether that's being a pastor, running a business, being a nurse, doesn't matter what God's called you to be. If you focus on him and you focus on what you're supposed to be doing, these negative emotions won't have as much role to play with you because you have a rearranged focus. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's part of it, okay? Now, the second part, and this is the part that I'm going to expound on a little bit more. Second reason why seeking God first works so well is that seeking God first actually does more than keep you coming under depression, anger, and negative emotions. It does more because God says, when you seek me first, I'll restore the lack in your life. Now, let's go back for a minute. Remember what we said causes negative emotions. What did we say causes that? What? The perception of lack, okay? Thank you, Ben. The perception of lack causes negative emotions. Now, let's say, for example, Jesus restores the lack in your life. Okay? Do you have anything to be worried about? No. Absolutely not. If you do, you've really tried really hard. That's a special case. I'm going to have to work on that. But what Jesus does is he actually restores the lack in your life when you seek him first. Why? Because he said, when you seek him first, all these things will be added unto you. God has set up a system, okay? When you seek me first, all these things will be added unto you. So that lack in your life will be restored if you seek God first. Amen? So you find out that thing you're missing that's causing you to feel these negative emotions, and then you go, you know what? If I seek God first, he's going to restore that back to me. Amen? Now, one thing I will make a special note on, you have to be careful you don't seek God first for whatever it is that you want. You seek God first for who he is and to have a personal relationship with him. Also, you have to keep in mind that maybe what you want isn't what God wants you to have. And you will discover that in the process of seeking him first. So the other way works too. He may go, you know what, that lack you think you have is not actually lack. You don't need that anyway. So that's a problem taken care of real darn easy. Okay? So he's either going to tell you what you wanted in the first place, you don't need to have, or he's going to go, you know, that is lack in your life, and I'm going to restore that back to you. Amen? Okay. Actually, a good part of the Psalms is about seeking God first, or the lack thereof, and the subsequent consequences of doing so. Okay, for example, Psalm 91 is very popular as far as it regards to a prayer of protection. I believe it is that But it is also about the benefits of seeking God first, okay? And let's actually go there. That would be good, so we all can read it together. Let's go to Psalm 91, okay? And this is actually understanding Psalm 91 a little bit more. You know, I am a strong believer in this, not to negate. If you need protection, pray Psalm 91. I'm a strong believer in that, okay? But this is kind of a little bit more in-depth look why Psalm 91 works here like it does, okay? We've heard a lot of miraculous stories, especially from Peggy Joyce Ruth, about the power of Psalm 91. But this is a little inside angle here, one of the reasons Psalm 91 works so well, okay? Let's see here. Where do I want to start? I'll just start right at the meat of it. No sense in beating around the bush. Let's go to verse 14, okay? Psalm 91, 14. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. All right. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. You see the subsequent order there. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Okay. So, there is a key there. We have, because he hath, he's talking about you, okay? This is kind of the reverse part. This is actually God talking, okay? We see the psalmist talking at the first part of 91. Then when we hit verse 14, it changes to God, and it says, because he, or you, hath set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Where are we at again? We're back at seeking God first, okay? You know, there's a certain trust developed in God. When you seek God first, you believe, you understand he's right there behind you, okay? Actually, he's in front of you. You understand that because you seek God first, you have that trust that, well, God's right there. If you're not seeking God first and you're going, well, I don't know if this situation's going to work out, yeah, I would be worried too, okay? You need to seek God first, okay? And actually, I also believe that part of it, we were talking about honor, part of it is an honor thing. If you notice there, God says, you know, I will honor him. And the Lord is looking for somebody that honors him firstly. And then he returns by saying, you know, I will honor you. And that's a big thing if God honors you. Amen? Amen. And I just like that so much. We're going to read it one more time. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore, here's the benefits. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. He shall call upon me. Your prayers are answered. I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and I'll honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and I'll show him salvation. Now, folks, if you need any more than that, I suggest you go talk to somebody else. Don't go talk to God, because I think this is what God has to provide for you. Amen? That's pretty much all-encompassing piece of scripture verse there. Would you agree with me? I mean, the salvation part in love alone is good, but he has all that other stuff crammed in there, which is really good, okay? So, the restoration of lack takes place when you seek God first, and that eliminates the negative emotions. So what does seeking God first do? Let's review. It rearranges your focus, okay? And then, secondly, it restores the lack, or eliminates the need for the lack, because you realize that your priorities were in the wrong place, okay? So that's the rearrangement of the focus. That is why seeking God first works so well, okay? Now, we're going to get to this last part here. How do you seek God first, okay? This is actually really, really easy. How do you seek God first? Let's think about this now. How do you seek God first, okay? What does God mean when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things we add unto you? So we have to ask ourselves this. What is the kingdom of God, basically, right? Would be the logical question if you're wondering how to seek God first. Well, he said, seek the kingdom of God, okay? The kingdom of God, I believe, is established in your life in about two ways, okay? When you seek God first, as God is in being a personal relationship with God first, okay, on a daily basis, and when you seek that the kingdom of God is established in the lives of others. So who is God dealing with here? God is dealing with you and other people. It's that simple. In order to establish the kingdom of God, you've got to get it established in your life and then in the lives of others. So seeking first the kingdom of God is seeking the establishment of his kingdom in your life and lives of others. The Bible says that the kingdom is not necessarily a building somewhere. It's actually in your heart, okay? So in order to build this building in your heart, you have got to, what? Like David said, I seek to dwell in his tabernacle. Some of you may find that your tabernacle is very small, if non-existent. It's a stone slate where you kneel and beg God and put him on speed dial and go, God, I need these things, okay, and that's why God's there, okay? You need a tabernacle. Tabernacles are for worshiping God, not for asking him for things, okay? He said those will be added unto you, so you got the order wrong there. You don't seek all these things first, and then God's added unto you in some strange fashion. You seek God first, okay? And you have a tabernacle, and you go in there, and you get things done. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to understand that the kingdom of God is established in two ways, in your life and the lives of others. Okay? Right? Okay. So that is how the kingdom of God is established. Okay? And I think what really needs to be stressed here, when I was praying about this is what really needs to be stressed. Okay? A lot of times when someone says you need to have a personal relationship with God, that's almost kind of like a cliche statement. I feel some cliche-ness there. Okay, because it's used so much. Okay? A lot of times when the pastors or anybody's giving a salvation call, he's going to come to a personal relationship with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a true statement. Okay? This is where you got to get rid of the cliche-ness of it. Okay? And I feel very strongly about this. When you get saved, your relationship with God does not stop there. Okay? It is daily devotional time with the Lord. It's that simple, I know. We're dealing with very simple stuff here, but it is that extensive, okay? It's more than I got saved to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Let me ask you a question, okay? For those of you who are married or in a relationship, okay, if you said, oh, great, I got a girlfriend. Oh, great, I got married. I must be in a personal relationship with this person. That is a true statement. But how do you think that's going to work out if you don't spend no time with that person? Well, I think we all know the answer to that one. It's not going to work out at all, right? It's going to go down, right? In flames. Okay, so we understand, common sense will tell us, in order to establish a relationship with God, we must do what? Spend time with God, okay? Now, think of it this way. If you spend time with God once a month, that's, again, comparing to the spouse, girlfriend, relationship, even friend. How do you think that work out? What do you think your relationship would be like? Not very good. What if you get crazy, like myself, and you go, I'm coming to church every Sunday because I want a relationship with God. What do you think is going to happen? It's not going to be very good, I don't think. You need to spend your time with the Lord. Okay? What if you said you were married and you were gone the whole week and you said, well, every Sunday morning I show up, I don't see why you don't talk to me. What do you think would happen? Okay? Now, I know there are things, you know, people work, people travel, they're gone away, spouses can work together, they're okay with that. But usually they call each other. I mean, there's some kind of communication taking place there. Literally, you can't be a Sunday ghost Christian, okay? You're the ghost of Sunday, and you appear on Sundays, and then you leave, and never enter in the tabernacle ever again, okay? The tabernacle's not here at the church, folks, it's in your heart, okay? So if you're coming to the tabernacle here, thinking God's here, well, he is. But where do you need to find God? Really, where do you need to find him? In here, right? On a consistent basis. David, the psalmist, said, I dwell there, okay? Not unless he was living at church. He is living with God, okay? He is literally, he has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? He is daily communication with God, okay? Something the Lord's kind of challenged me with is spending, it's different for everybody, but just spending a half hour of serious time with the Lord, okay? Where you get down, you don't have to pray the whole time, you don't have to present your laundry list of needs, but I just get down and you just get quiet before the Lord, and you just go, Lord, I want to hear from you. It's very powerful when you do that. Why? Well, you might not hear anything, but what's that telling God? What do you think that tells God? It tells God you're serious. Okay, you're willing, you're serious about this relationship thing. When you get down on your knees and you just quiet, God, I want to hear you say something to me. I love you, Lord, and that's why I'm here. What do you think God's reaction is? Well, we got this light blinking. He's looking down at the earth. We got a light blinking over here. Oh, who's that? Well, somebody wants a relationship with you. I'll get back with him later. No, that's not what's taking place. God said he's seeking the earth to and fro, looking for somebody who's going to tap in to the tabernacle. Okay? If you're not tapping in, there's no light blinking. As soon as that light blinks, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit's there, and he is waiting to establish a personal relationship with you. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we understand now that to seek God first, we must establish the kingdom of God in our life, and we know how to do that, okay? And you have to remember now, the whole purpose of this is at the very end of the road, you will overcome your negative emotions, okay? Now you're going, well, Josh, I left Sunday, and I spent time with God on Monday, and this depression is beating at my doorstep ever faster than I could ever believe. Well, you got to remember something. When you are married, or when you're in a relationship, it didn't just take one day. This is a time progression thing. And I said you will feel certain ways, but that doesn't mean you are certain ways, okay? When you step into a relationship with the Lord, you overcome now. But are you going to feel that? Yes, okay? Are you going to feel pressure? Yes. You're going to feel that opposition? Yes. But now we know how we overcome. Amen? We overcome through a personal relationship with the Lord. And secondly, establishing the kingdom of God in your life. And you'll figure this out the more time you spend with God. He'll start pressing you to do things for other people. But it is secondarily establishing the kingdom of God in other people's lives. You understand that? Okay? That's very important too. Okay? Because he wants tabernacles everywhere. Not just in your heart, but he wants them everywhere. Okay? So that is how you establish the kingdom of God. Now, I will say this, okay? When you get down there and you pray to God, this is how this whole thing blows up, okay? This is how it doesn't work, okay? And I've done this. This is how it doesn't work. If you want to get shut down mid-prayer, pull this out of the bag, okay? Pull this one out of the bag. And it's called unsubmissiveness to his will, okay? Listen very carefully here. There may be things in your life you don't want to surrender to God. There may be things. And you may not even realize it, but there may be things. There may be emotions against someone you really want to hang on to. There may be things you should have done, let go, and gone of a long time ago, but you're still hanging on to that. Okay? It's very important you surrender to his will. Okay? Because if you're coming in that time of prayer going, Lord, I'm seeking you first because I'm saying I need, you know, X and Y. I'm seeking you first. Well, it's true you are seeking God as the first source. You realize that only he can give this back to you. Maybe you lost something in your life, okay? You're coming into that prayer time there, okay? And you're saying, God, I'm seeking you first because you're the first person I'm going to get this thing back. That is not the purpose of what we're doing here, okay? God may want to give you that back. Like we said earlier, he may not want to give you that back. But the reason why you're bending your knee down there by your bedside is to have a personal relationship with God. Okay? It's not to go, God, I need this. Because what's going to happen is as soon as you go, God, give me this, and you got it, you're gone. Your tabernacle fell down. You're gone. Okay? You're seeking God for who he is. Okay? Does that make sense? You have to be very careful because there is a certain selfishness there when you decide to chase all these things and not chase God. You must chase God for who he is, not for what you want him to do for you, okay? And I feel really strongly about people that are kneeling down there. They have good intentions. They are wanting to seek God first because they want to establish a relationship with him, but they will not relinquish emotions that they want to keep. There is a stronghold there. There's emotions present that you said, you know what, I'm hanging on to this. I'm keeping this one. God said, no, you're surrendering all to me. You're seeking me first. You're desiring one thing. I'm not one of the many. I am the only thing, and everything else comes after me. You cannot, folks, you cannot hang on to the emotions in your life as treasures. Those have to be cast before the feet of Jesus before you're going to get answers to your prayers. Okay? You cannot hang on to those emotions. Like I said, it could be you don't want to let go of that hate you have towards somebody. It could be that. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Okay. It could be that you don't want to let go of somebody you should have let go of, like I said. But you have to cast that before Jesus. Otherwise, you won't have victory. It is that simple, folks. It's that simple. So if you want to pull something out of the bag in that prayer time, go right ahead. But I guarantee you this, you're not going to be very successful. Why? Because you're praying there next to Jesus on your stone plate there, okay? Because you're just now getting started with this. And what do you got sitting next to you? Well, there's a golden cow sitting next to you. Do you think God wants to see that golden cow sitting next to you while you're praying? By that, I mean an idol, like the Israelites had, okay? They built this golden cow. Do you think God wants to see any golden cow sitting next to you while you're praying? He is not going to look at you. He's going to look at that and go, what is this? Okay? And I strongly recommend if you go, God, you know, I'm in this prayer time now. What do I need to do to get answers to my prayer? And I'm willing to submit anything and everything to you. That's a powerful statement. He will show you. It may take time, but he will show you. Because what are you doing? You're humbling yourself. Okay? And that is the number one thing getting in the way. You're humbling yourself before God, and you're saying, God, I submit to you. You are letting go of what you have, and you're giving it to God. Okay? If you want to keep going, let me tell you something. As a Christian, you will not have victory in your life until you do that. Okay? Self-denial is entry-level Christianity. Okay? You will not have victory until you give him everything. You can't run out of there. If he says, give me all the gold, you can't hide gold in your tent. Okay? It's just not going to work out. Why? Your life is not going to be in order. As a Christian, you might go, oh, I was doing fine before I was saved, and now I've got all these problems. Well, it's because you've stepped into a new order. Okay? And this order you've stepped into demands your self-denial, that you relinquish the emotions you're hanging on to, the things you're hanging on to. Okay? And unless you're willing to submit, we might as well just stop here, call it quits, go home, because there is nothing anybody can do for you unless you lay your treasures at the altar, okay, and give everything to God. So that's very important. Okay, so remember that. If you're praying, you're going, you know, I'm having trouble getting answers to my prayers. What do I need to do? You know, you go, God, is there anything that I'm holding back? Anything at all that I'm holding back, you know? And I'm not saying that just because you went off and you did something wrong doesn't mean you come there in prayer time and go, man, it must mean I'm holding on to something. I'm condemned now. He's not going to listen to me until I let this thing go. Because if we all did that, nobody would get answers to their prayers. We'd all die, you know, unhappy, unsaved people. But what you have to understand is that your continual submission to God on a daily basis is a requirement to seeking God first. That's step one. Step two is then, once you're willing to do that, you can enter into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? And then you can help establish that in other people. Getting your pride, the things you want, out of the way is very important, okay? Okay, so basically, and I really think that that part right there, I'm stuck on this because I think that right there is very important, because I really sense right now that there may be some people sitting here who are refusing to relinquish everything. There's just a bit. There's something there you're hanging on to, okay? And it's very important you let that go. Very important, okay? So our take-home message here is that you overcome negative emotions by seeking God first. We practically seek God first through our daily devotional lives and buy forth out of the rivers of living water, okay? You give forth out of that so you can establish the kingdom in other people's lives, okay? You as a Christian do not have to live under the power of negative emotions. They have no hold on you, regardless of the circumstance you're challenged with. Seek the kingdom of God first and watch the rest of your life literally fall into place, okay? I'm going to pray here, and then we're going to turn things over to Pastor Mitch in case he has something he wants to add. You have something you want to add? Come on up here and go ahead and add it.
Get another mic there, Josh.
You know, as Josh was talking here, this is very good. One of the things that the devil goes after, that listening to this, that I realized, he goes after your supply. Mm-hmm. And you said that negative emotions are a perception of lack. Yeah. And when he goes after your supply, and meaning your supply, here's what he did to Adam and Eve. He said, And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The enemy went right after the supply. He went after the word of God, which is the supply in your life. And when he did that, he brought doubt into their lives. Mm-hmm. And it gave them that lack of perception, or that perception of lack, mm-hmm. that they didn't have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what negative emotion, what was the first negative emotion that we saw there? Was fear. They said, I was afraid. So there we see the negative emotions coming in there.
Right. I think if you realize, and you get a revelation of, that you are whole in Christ without anything, then that's when you can really overcome negative emotions, because you have already overcome the lack. Okay?
Yeah.
There is no lack there left in your life at that point.
See, that's why I believe the enemy attacks. He attacks so strongly on a person's worth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll attack your worth because, you know, you get your worth from your supply here in the Word. The Word tells you who you are. And once he destroys that, you've got that lack of that negative emotion. Well, I'm no good. I can't do this. I'm just a failure. I'm this and I'm that. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And I didn't realize that until you mentioned that. That is very good, because he does come after your supply. And that's why God wants us to believe his word. That's why he wants us. I mean, it's simple. Mm-hmm. It really is simple as just, God, I believe you. I believe your word, God. And if you can keep him out of your supply, it doesn't belong to him anyway. But you have to do something. You have to resist. The Bible says in James that we are to submit ourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, right? So those negative emotions come from that perception of lack, because the enemy tries to go here, or he'll attack your supply. This is your supply. God gave us his word. That's our supply. Amen.
And I would almost equate it to, there a really natural example of that would be, you know, the Bible says, like I said, that you're whole in him. If you trust in God, he'll supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ, okay? Practical example would be, there was an employee, no, it wasn't Ben, but there was an employee who I was having particular trouble with that was causing a lot of problems, okay? And I said, you know what? I'm mad now. Here's the negative emotion, okay? Because this employee is really screwing us up this year, okay? He's really screwing us up. And then I acted on my negative emotion. I'm angry now, okay? Well, take two steps back and go, you know, it's not up to your employee whether or not you succeed. It's up to God, because your supply is in Christ. It's up to what the Word says. But as soon as you're basing what you see on, you know, your circumstances instead of basing it on the Word of God, there's an immediate lack there. Why? Because, yeah, in the natural circumstances, you're going to have problems if this guy keeps doing what he's doing. Okay? So I think that's just a really natural example of that.
And, you know, one of the other things I see, too, is how the enemy will try to take a person and instead of getting our reward from the Word of God or getting our reward from God, what he does is try to convince you that, and this is where unforgiveness, I believe, really starts and comes in at, is that other person owes you something. Convince you that that other person owes you something. And then that unforgiveness starts to fester in there. Because get your eyes off the supply.
Right.
You get your eyes off the supply, and then you know, well, that other person owes you now.
Well, yeah, the word you're using, owes, implies that you have lack, right? Mm-hmm. Because they owe you something. So again, there's the perception of lack there that's causing negative emotion of hatred towards that person. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I really sense very strongly, like I said, the willingness to submit and relinquish everything to God. It's very important. I believe that's step one to overcoming your negative emotions. Mm-hmm. So I would like to say, if there's anybody in here who's experiencing that, to give that to God. Now rather than later, it would be a good time. because there is no better time than now. But I really feel that it's very important to relinquish everything you have to God. Yeah, not hanging on to any more of those emotions that you want to really, you know, you're just squeezing that, just going, I don't want to let go. You need to let go. You need to let go.
Well, I think we would be remiss if we did not ask for a response after this message was given. If you would like prayer, if you would just simply say, you know, Lord, I've had negative emotions and I don't want these emotions anymore because I've doubted you. I've doubted your word. Then raise your hand and we'll pray for you. I see those hands. I see all those hands. I see those hands. Is there anyone anywhere else?
Like we're saying too, this is only the first step, okay? There is a relinquishment here that's about to take place. You're about to take the first step. It's also the following steps that are extremely critical. If you don't follow through, you know, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
You can have a great, powerful experience of release from the Holy Spirit, but you must follow through. But I do believe that initial step's very important, and, you know, that's something the Lord wants to help you with right now.
Just simply say after me, Lord, I release it to you. Father, forgive me for not trusting you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. Amen.
And you know, it's that simple, folks. You have just taken the first step to overcoming the negative influence of emotions in your life. Now, as you seek God first, you'll realize you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger in Him. But definitely I encourage you to follow through. And those emotions that you've just let go of and given to God, those things you were holding on to, will try to resurface. But just know that you've already given them to God. They can't come back on you. It's your choice, you know. So just know that and just walk in the freedom that Christ has provided for you. Amen?
Yeah, one of the things, you know, you may feel like, oh, I got it again or whatever, but that's not reality.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is reality. Yeah. Okay? This is reality here.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we close, actually, did you have anything else, Josh?
No, that's it.
Before we close, I would like Jeremy and Zach and Jason to come on up here and we